Common Geek Program.
Hello, welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or common reading program for geek culture. Each week we have a topic that four people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. This is the fourth episode of the podcast, and we've been changing and fine-tuning things for these first episodes. So for those of you joining us for the first time, I'm going to give a quick rundown of how things work.
Yeah, Eddie, you could just be like, welcome to Common Geek Programming, for those of you who are just now joining.
Program.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is how it works.
There are eight of us involved in the podcast, with four people on each episode, one host and three representatives of different geeky domains. At this point, we've each been on at least one episode, and we try to rotate through the group to make sure the podcast has variety from week to week. This week, we'll be exploring Marvel Comics, specifically the four-issue series Marvels. Joining me for this discussion, we have...
Go for Pat. Hi, I'm Pat. I'm repping the How I Met Your Mother domain. It's a little out there, but I'll make it work.
Hey, I'm Matt Canavan. I'm representing the Death Note domain.
Hey, I'm Keenan Kodish, and I will be representing the DC Comics domain, more specifically the New 52 incarnations.
Specifically.
What are we laughing at?
How do you say the word?
Specifically.
What did Keenan say?
He said specifically.
Oh,
I will be representing the New 52 domains of DC Comics, specifically.
Colin's webcam is too much right now.
You can turn him off.
I know.
Everyone focus up. All right, I'm trying to record a fucking podcast here. Okay.
Apologies.
And my name is Edward Ryan, and I'll be your host for this episode. Look, I'm drinking out of an Iron Man cup for this Marvel episode.
Wow. Cool visual thing for an audio-related podcast.
We're not fucking... This is for me, okay? I don't give a shit.
Yeah, dress up like your characters as well. That'd be perfect.
Here, guys, look, I'm wearing Spider-Man underpants. See that? So, as I said, we're going to be discussing Marvels. Marvels was a four-issue limited series of comics originally published in 1994. The series takes place between 1939 and the mid-1970s and concerns the world's introduction and reaction to the various superheroes, villains, mutants, and galactic beings of the Marvel Universe. The story is told from the perspective of this guy, Phil Sheldon, a freelance photographer slash reporter.
And pirate.
Phil has an eye patch. Phil refers to all of the various superpowered beings as Marvels, which is where the series gets its name. So one of the really interesting things about Marvels is that it gives us what is essentially a tour through the Marvel Universe. And this is why I wanted to select it as the topic for this episode. We see a lot of the important and iconic moments from the history of Marvel Comics universe, and we experience all these from the ground level alongside Phil.
Specifically.
So the story gets started in 1939 with Phil as a photographer at the unveiling of the original Human Torch. So not Johnny Storm, the other guy, whose name I don't fucking know. He, like everyone else in attendance, think that it's a magic trick, that it's, you know, that it's just a bunch of crap.
Including J. Jonah Jameson.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? Is that okay with you?
Including J. Jonah Jameson, yeah. And they all just kind of forget about it. More things kind of start happening in the world. More of these Marvels come to surface, namely Namor. Is kind of the one that gets, you know, the whole world to be like, whoa, this is something that's real and happening. So, you know, Namor shows up, and at first, like, people don't know if he's a friend or an enemy.
I don't think people ever figured that out, to be perfectly honest.
No, not really. They didn't, because Namor, he doesn't really, like...
He cares about Atlantis. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he cares about the world because he lives on it, but, like...
Nah, he cares about it if it's wet.
All right. So then we kind of follow Phil through, you know, his life and his and the world's learning about these different Marvels and stuff. So Phil, like, he starts to feel, like, really small and, like, he doesn't know what his place is and he doesn't know how he can raise a family or, you know, be, like, a person in a world where there are these superpowered beings running amok.
That... Oh, those damn muties.
Well, not yet. So he's engaged to this woman and he breaks off the engagement because he's like, I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good father. if, like, I can't protect my family. But then Captain America kind of changes everything, not just for Phil, but for the whole world. You know, he shows up and he's a regular guy. You know, he's like an all-American.
An American hero.
Yeah, exactly. And he, you know, people see him and they think like, oh my goodness, maybe, you know, these superheroes, they're all regular people who just happen to have superpowers.
Maybe they could be Americans too. Now, he was just being a nationalist, let's be perfectly honest.
But the whole thing is, like, during this time also, the war in Germany is going on. And, yep, like, Captain America is being used as propaganda. So you're walking down the street and you're seeing kids say, I want to be Captain America. You have to play the Nazi this time.
His shoulders are so broad.
The patriotism of Captain America is leading people to have a positive overall notion of the Marvels.
Yeah. And then that, along with how Captain America and some of the other Marvels go and help fight the Axis powers. And that really brings people on board with them and really changes the whole perspective. So, you know, after this, Phil, he's feeling good. He gets back together with his fiance. They get married. They have kids.
Cute kids.
The story, it takes place over a very long period of time. So we hit a lot of different points. We hit the start of the Avengers, the whole Galactus thing. He shows up and tries to eat the world, and the Fantastic Four stop him.
Spidey.
Yeah, one of the big points in the fourth issue is Spider-Man.
Let's not forget Luke Cage, hero for hire.
He's kind of a minor.
And everyone is starting to hate, you know, the superheroes and Spider-Man most of all. And Phil, he's, you know, thinking that people just don't appreciate them and everything like that. But then he comes to realize that it's not really that people feel this way. It's that they're kind of being manipulated by the media, namely J. Jonah Jameson.
Panic in the streets. We're lucky.
I want those pictures.
Exactly.
I want the pictures explicitly saying that Spider-Man is bad, though. Don't give me the good ones.
Spider-Man with his hand in a cookie jar.
Yeah, that...
Because Phil, you know, he's a freelance photographer, so he sells some pictures to Jonah. You know, he sees, like, Peter Parker selling these, like, pictures of Spider-Man looking bad. And he's like, I can't believe this Parker kid. How could he do this to Spider-Man?
That actually annoyed me a lot. That, like, it wasn't like Peter Parker walked in and was like, I got these pictures that you asked for, Mr. Jameson. And he's like, ah.
They're crap. 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 Mega crap.
Ah. This one makes him look bad. It was Parker walked in and was like, hey,
yeah,
they make him look like shit. And like, they high-fived. They're like, I don't know, like, slap yeah, each other yeah, or something. I don't
yeah.
know.
No, it was great. It was great. Peter Parker's like, hey, so Spider-Man, he stopped those robbers, but here's him holding the money. It looks like he stole it.
Ha-ha. Take that, Spider-Man, who's not me. Yeah. I mean, he's not me either, but it felt weird to say it.
Yeah. Also, I kind of skipped an important bit. Phil lost an eye, so he has an eye patch. Okay, we're moving past that now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's a pirate.
Yeah, that's not important at all.
So, no, basically, there's like this... I think it's like Namor and the Human Torch.
Yeah, way back
in like the 40s or something. Yeah. They're fighting, and Phil, he's trying to get pictures, and like a piece of a building falls on his face. And it breaks his camera and his face.
And his eye.
Yeah, and his eye.
So back to the 70s, though. There's the turning point in Phil's mind that I saw was when the mutants first come about.
Those damn muties!
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why. Why don't you summarize that part for us, Pat?
So when Phil walks out, I think he was in an important meeting about his book. Walks out, and there's a mob forming because... these mutants, what did the mutants do again? Like, they
were there.
A construction worker fell off of a building, and the mob thought that the mutants pushed him, but in reality he fell and they were trying to save him. But once you get a mob going, they kind of just roll with it.
This comic kind of reconciles a little bit something that I think myself and a lot of people have a problem with the Marvel comics, which is that, like, everyone kind of treats the mutants like crap in the X-Men comics. But then, like, they're fine with Spider-Man. I mean, they're not really fine with Spider-Man, but they're fine with Spider-Man.
Nah, they're fine with, like, Avengers and everyone, but, like, those damn mutants!
Yeah, but the way they kind of explain that in Marvels is that, you know, a lot of the superheroes and stuff, they, like, get their powers somehow. Something happens to them, or they do something that makes them this way. But the mutants, they're born with their powers. Mm-hmm. So they're like the next evolutionary step and seen as a replacement for regular humans. Whereas like the people who aren't mutants are seen as like shining examples of humanity. So that's why people hate the mutants, because they're like, I don't want to be replaced. I don't want there to be people that are just better than me at birth, cuz.
But it's also, I like that right. they added a lot of hate towards costumed heroes as well. But I also really enjoyed how it wasn't just, we hate mutants. It was like, what about, you know, Tony Stark? Yeah, well, we hate him too. I hate everybody.
They don't know Tony is the Iron Man yet.
Yeah, but they also hated Tony Stark, and they also hated Iron Man. They hated anyone that didn't wear a hat and a suit, apparently. Tony Stark never wore a hat, so I think that was a factor.
But so, Pat, you were talking about there's the mob forming with the X-Men.
So the mob forms, and they tell Sheldon what's going on, and he gets caught up in the mob mentality and goes along with it, picks up a brick, and actually throws it at one of the X-Men.
Iceman.
At Iceman, yep. Yeah. So, and then after that, he's got to think about why did I do that? Like, why are the mutants so much different from the Marvels? What's wrong with me and what's wrong with them to the point that it made me want to throw a brick? Mm-hmm. And then later on, he goes home and he realizes that his daughters have befriended a mutant, and that mutant is now living in his basement, and he has to reconcile the fact that he just attacked one of them, and he's got to figure out if he wants to shelter this mutant or not.
Mm-hmm. And then he does decide to, because he, like, you know, he's like, it's just a kid, you know, like, she's a mutant, but she's still a
person.
She's
still human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's, I think... And that's what I like about this comic, is it brings up a lot of interesting parts of a lot of different sections of the Marvel Universe. Yeah, you need some background knowledge, but it's able to build the Marvel Universe in this very limited window and do it from this specific perspective of a regular guy.
That is the dumbest idea you've ever had, and you have had some doozy!
So I was thinking, let's move on and get into your guys' different domains for the week. So let's start with Pat. What did you bring us this week, Pat?
So, How I Met Your Mother, Marvel superheroes, they just go hand in hand, right? Like, everybody just immediately thinks, yeah.
Naturally.
So, yeah, they're basically the same series.
I struggled a lot to figure out which domain I really wanted to rep after reading this comic series, and then... After reading around on the internet about what people were saying about Marvels, it clicked that How I Met Your Mother tells the story exactly the same way as Marvels does.
Kids, I'm going to tell you an incredible story. The story of How I Met Your Mother.
So in Marvels, you follow Sheldon, just a normal guy, someone you can relate to.
How I Met Your Marvels.
How I Met Your Well, I think we might have found the episode. That's what I wanted to say, Pat. So just for anyone who didn't catch it, the character is Phil Sheldon. So we'll be referring to him as both Phil and Sheldon.
Yeah, but everyone calls him, like, Sheldon.
So you follow Sheldon, or Phil Sheldon, whichever one you want.
Or just Phil.
So you follow him. He's an average guy. You can totally relate to everything that he's going through and feeling. And you're meant to. You're supposed to look at him and say, I don't know what I'd do in that situation, but I can understand what Phil Sheldon has done in how he's reacting to these Marvels. So the way How I Met Your Mother works is essentially it's Ted Mosby, the main character, looking back at his life in his late 20s, early 30s, and recounting to his children over a very long period of time how he met their mother. Like, literally excruciating detail.
Are we being punished for something?
No.
Yeah, is this gonna take a while?
Yes.
And it's interesting to me because I'm not even remotely close to where Ted Mosby is in his life, but watching through it, I can relate to all the things that he is dealing with. Like, in an age that everybody is worried about finding the right person and internet dating and everything, he's going through his life single, trying to find the one for him. And that's something that a lot of people can relate to.
A good job, too.
So it's an interesting plot device where instead of just telling the story, it's Ted Mosby going back and recounting it. Like, later in life, he reacts to his decisions in his early life as well. And it's cool to get his commentary on that. So it's a little bit different in that case.
25 years ago, before I was dad, I had this whole other life.
Yeah, and I can see how that's like Marvel's, because Phil Sheldon is telling the story in like the past tense.
Yeah.
Like, as if he's talking to us, the reader, now, telling us about his early life.
Yeah, but at least, you know, he wasn't like, so, when did Marvel start? Ah, yes. Now, it was 7 years before I ever met anyone with superpowers. And just goes through his life up to
date. Well, I mean, it kind of does start then.
No, it starts, the day he saw the first Human Torch.
Yeah, but no one believed so, that like, Human Torch had superpowers.
That's very different than How I Met Your Mother, which was like, how'd you meet Mom? Well, 7 years, I was in a bar, didn't know your mother.
And
all.
I saw your Aunt Robin. Boom.
Whoa.
But the other thing is, even though How I Met Your Mother is not superhuman in any way, it's nice to see that this way that Marvel's is telling a story is not exclusive to that kind of a medium. It can be used on a TV sitcom just as well and make one of the most popular TV sitcoms of all time. It's not just Ted, though. Like, it's all of his friends as well, which is a little bit different from Marvel's, because Marvel's pretty much only talks about Phil Sheldon in his little world and what he's thinking about, and then it shows the general populace and their opinions.
General populace?
But, but How I Met Your Mother, you also get Lily, you get Marshall, you get Barney, you get Robin, you get all of their lives coming together and seeing the effect that Ted's memories even has on that situation. In several times where Ted is telling a story in his older life, he doesn't remember what happened. So he has to kind of extrapolate it. And then through one episode in particular, I can't remember exactly which one, he goes back and changes the story at least 3 times. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if Marvel's really does that, because I'm pretty sure it just follows Phil Sheldon mm-hmm. through his life. It doesn't really have him recounting it very much. So I don't know if there's any of that kind of a thing going on where he goes back and changes the story. But
yeah, I thought Marvel's, it had much more of a linear time structure compared to How I Met Your Mother, where it's jumping all over the place.
But that's the beauty of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would say that the similarity with that technique in Marvel's is that commonly in every single issue, something happens and then he says what the media and how people reacted. He doesn't go back and change and show us what happened necessarily, but he does say, oh, well, that isn't what actually happened. Well, we thought that this guy was being bad, but actually it turns out it was this.
Yeah,
that's very similar to How I Met Your Mother. And I also like How I Met Your Mother also, he purposely changes stuff because he's telling it to kids. Like the running sandwich joke.
The sandwiches.
Before a concert, we would eat a bag of sandwiches. Sandwiches is weed.
I don't know if we need to be that obvious about it, but all right.
It's because he's telling it to his kids, so he doesn't want to let his kids know that apparently he did a lot of sandwiches.
Did a lot of sandwiches.
Also, I preemptively motion that Keenan get the Gold Star Student Award for coming up with How I Met Your Marvels.
Well, you know, I'm going to decide that, so.
I'm just letting you know. That's my vote.
Yeah, of course. Who's the fucking host?
Wow, getting real savage over there, Eddie.
Shut up. Get out.
Pat, surprisingly good job for leading How I Met Your Mother to the Marvel Comics universe.
Thanks, Internet.
So now let's move on to Matt.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, that's you.
Mike was muted. Sorry about that.
You fucking dick.
All right. So, hey, I'm Matt. My domain of knowledge is on the Japanese anime Death Note.
Manga.
Shut up, Keenan. It was originally a manga in Japan, and then it was turned into an anime. Follows the story of this guy, Light Yagami, who discovers this magical notebook called the Death Note.
It's a notebook that kills people. Hell, nothing surprises me anymore.
I think discovered is a bit strong of a word. He finds it.
I mean,
what the fuck is the difference?
No, discovered makes it sound like he did something straight
they
up.
They mean the same thing.
No, discovered makes it sound like you did something. He finds it.
Just
whatever.
Let Matt say what he wants.
A discovery is when you find something and it happens to be important.
Yeah.
No, this was finding. He straight up tripped over it.
All right. Thanks, Keenan. So, Light Yagami.
He looks out a window and goes, there's a notebook on the ground. Right,
Keenan, I have a question for you. You repping Death Note this week?
No, I hate Death Note.
All right, so let's let Matt Rep Death Note.
Yeah, no matter how stupid it is. Love you, all Matt. Right. Hate the series.
Thanks, Keenan. So,
all right, Matt, please tell us more about Death Note and how it relates to Marvel.
You didn't even begin it because I derailed.
The last thing you said was he found a notebook, or he discovered a notebook.
Yeah, so it follows the story of this guy, Light Yagami, who discovers this notebook called the Death Note, where if somebody's name is written in it, they die. And you can, in the notebook, you can also write all the different ways that you want them to die, what time you want them to die, etc., etc. And Light originally plans to sort of rule the world by killing criminals with this notebook, and he would kind of make himself the god, both god and, well, I don't know if I want to say both god and judge, but he would be
judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, judge, jury, and executioner. That's a good way
he's
to put it.
Not judge, jury, and executioner.
it's kind of a funny sequence in the anime and in the manga. I just want to say, because this is the exchange. Following him around, there's a Shinigami,
yes,
which is the Japanese, like an angel of death, and it's his Death Note. He left it on the ground for someone to find because he was bored. So Light,
yep, that's the premise of the whole series.
Yeah, and there's basically, but it's very funny, listeners, because this is basically the whole exchange of him finding it. So he literally walks out, finds it on the ground, talks to this, 8 foot tall demon. Matt, you explain the Shinigami. I hate that guy so much.
Yeah. So, well, you already did it, but the Shinigami, it's basically angel... Kanan.
Sorry.
So, the Death Note belongs to a Shinigami, which is basically a Japanese angel of death. Jesus Christ.
I'll take a potato chip and eat it.
A Shinigami named Ryuk, and he basically just dropped the notebook into the human world because he was bored.
I have to make him touch the notebook first. Oh, well.
And so the reason that I kind of thought that this related to Marvel's was that it had to do a lot to do with the perception of the heroes themselves. You know, some people view the killings of the criminals as a good deed, while others consider it still murder, which I thought was kind of interesting, and it kind of compared to the mutants versus the actual heroes, you know? Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Well, I can get that, because it's like J. Jonah Jameson, you know? Yeah. He's totally against everything.
I just had one quick question.
Okay.
You said the guy's name is Light?
Yeah. Yes, his name is Light Yagami.
How do we spell Light?
L-I-G-H-T.
Gotcha. What's Yagami mean?
His last name.
What does it mean?
Are you an etymologist or something, buddy?
No, I just want to know, like, is he...
How do you spell Yagami?
We can literally just fucking Google it.
Mm-hmm. That's what Colin's doing right now.
That's why he needed to know how to spell it.
Oh, wait, Colin's not here. Shh.
Who's Colin?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm in charge.
That's an interesting thing that they would make the main character's name Light.
When he's doing all these dark things.
Like Light is typically, Light is typically a good thing.
It means eight god.
It means what?
Eight god. Those are the kanji that make up...
All right, whatever. I don't care anymore.
The thing that follows him is called the Shinigami, is that?
Yes, yes.
Are there other Shinigamis in this universe?
There
or
are.
Do you only
there's,
see that one?
There's several Shinigamis. We're introduced to Ryuk, and we're introduced to another one named Rem.
And are the other Shinigamis, like, upset about what's going on?
They don't really take any interest. They know that everyone dies in the end, so they just find it amusing, whatever... the mortals do.
Do they also have their own Death Notes?
Yes, each one has their own Death Note.
Are they responsible for everybody dying? Like, when somebody has to die, do they write their name in and then it happens? Or like...
That is exactly how it works.
Okay.
Is there like a set or like an average like time between writing and death? Or could you write like, you know, fucking Dave Smith and then like 2 years later he dies from cancer, but like he gets cancer right when you write his name, so he's got a long battle with it.
There were certain there's certain rules when you write someone's name.
Eddie, do you have something you want to tell us?
No, but let me just pull out my notebook here.
It doesn't look like a notebook.
Shut the fuck up.
there are certain rules that that they had to follow when writing someone's name, and as to like how they died and when. There definitely was something about like kind of setting up someone to die for an extended period of time. I remember in the series that he had set one up. He set up a bunch of mass killings to happen 2 weeks after he had written in the notebook.
Oh, okay. So he can put a time frame. So now from my brief and insignificant understanding, he can pick how people die?
Yes, he can. He can have people hit by cars. He could have them kill themselves. Although, if you don't specify how they die, they just have heart attacks.
Okay, so real quick, can you give me another way that this kind of, like, why you chose this for this episode?
It was mostly just because of that. Like, didn't really look at it in the way of compare it to Marvel's as far as, like, the way the story's written.
Mm-hmm.
It more as like the actual characters themselves and how they're perceived as a hero versus a villain.
Okay.
You know, some people perceive Light as a god and he's doing the right thing, like trying to like killing all the bad people.
Okay.
But then the police force believes that he's still killing people, which is wrong. And so the whole series is they're just trying to figure out who this killer is.
Don't mess with Light, because he's ironically not.
Okay, that's super interesting, and I do want to bring it back to that. But right now, I want to move on to Keenan and the domain that he has brought us this week.
Hey guys, it's me, Keenan.
Jesus Christ.
I decided that I want to talk about DC and the New 52. The New 52 is part of a relaunch that was honestly very exciting for a little bit. I have not read as much of it as I would like, mainly because once I heard that it was going to be rebooted so soon into Rebirth, by the way, Rebirth has been doing fabulously. I focused more of my 52 readings on like Wonder Woman and Deathstroke, because those are my two favorites. But basically, it's a very different world, the DC world, especially when compared to Marvel's, because mainly the scope and the time. Because while Marvel starts in 19, because they're sitting there and they're discussing the war. Yeah, it was 39. And what year? Because I couldn't get an exact year of when we end.
It's like the mid-70s. They might have said the exact year, but I don't recall.
Yeah, late 60s with, you know, a young Ghost Rider right there. So yeah. I thought that was really cool because in New 52, I find a good pin to put timing is the formation of the Justice League, because it's always early on in the series. But in the New 52, superheroes aren't that big, and they haven't been around a long time. Only like a few years. Like, Batman is one of the oldest, but he's still at the point where the cops are trying to arrest him sometimes, and how people aren't 100% sure he exists. Hal Jordan is introduced, and he comes to the Justice League, and he doesn't even believe any of them exist or know about any of them, except for like Barry Allen and stuff. So it was really cool to see this time flow starting from, you know, like I said, this was what, 40 years of the evolution of the heroes, of the public opinion of them, as opposed to, hey, it's just happening, which was the New 52. You know, when they formed the Justice League, people don't even 100% know about Atlantis. And Atlantis eventually becomes, you know, a big thing for, you know, Aquaman stuff. And it's condensed, though. A lot of the issues that still arise, yeah, in Marvel's and in Death Note, because, you know, of people deciding which one to do, and whether or not people are good or bad, still come up. But it's very quick, it feels. So I would say a really cool thing about Marvel's is that it takes time with it, and I think it's very successful as compared to like New 52, which is very different with it because starting.
I really like how well Marvel's moves us through this time. And New 52, I know, is kind of like a reset for the DC comics. That starts in modern day. Modern day being like 2010, 11,
yeah,
something like that.
So
that's when it starts, right? And then is it just moving through time, like in real time as the comics come out?
It took the place over years. As far as I know, in the comics that I read, there wasn't any major time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about after Flashpoint or?
The Flashpoint is what causes New 52. And I'm talking more about like once New 52 starts, a lot of the time just doesn't focus on the average person reacting to the events. The Rebirth Darkseid's arrival is actually the event that prompts the creation of the Justice League. And while we see a few people go, oh my god, and like we see some reactions from other people, like people are protesting Wonder Woman sometimes, it's also cool in the way that everyone likes Superman, in the way that everyone likes Captain America. They are infallible and perfect because they're the symbol of, you know, truth, justice, and the American way.
Exactly, exactly.
So there's no major time, but you still see...
perspectives shift?
Yeah, you still see it, because, like, eventually Bruce Wayne goes missing in the Batman.
Again?
Well, he goes missing, and then he, like, loses his memory of being Batman.
Let me see if I recollect. Some stuff happened.
So Commissioner Gordon and the city of Gotham decide that there needs to be a Batman. So they shift their perspective, and they actually, Commissioner Gordon takes on the role of being Batman in like a sort of mecha suit.
And I fight crime in a rubber suit. Really seals in the flavor.
It's a very interesting direction. Not necessarily one I would have taken. But like I said, one of the things that was really cool about Marvel is that's very different than DC, and I haven't really found anything in Rebirth similar to Marvel's in that it's, hey, Jim, do you hear about Superman? No, what happened? Oh, well, he destroyed that building. I don't like that Superman. No, Krypton, Bubba the Cage, that's weird, you know? So I think it's a very cool... Both these comics and also, with Death Note, create these vivid, extraordinary worlds, but we very rarely see the average person react to them. And New 52 does it sometimes by having average people either get superpowers or sometimes side characters react to things. Like I said, it's very cool that that Marvel's Death Note shows a more, and much in the way that How I Met Your Mother shows a lower level of the layman reacting to extraordinary things or simply living a normal life.
So in Marvel's, we see our main character, Phil Sheldon. We see his perspective change on things. And we see him questioning himself and his actions and his thoughts. You know, I know in, How I Met Your Mother, we get a lot of that in Ted, which is something that makes it a very personal and personable story, is that we can see, you know, flaws and changes and growth and things like that. And I was actually wondering, Matt, in Death Note, is he ever questioning himself? Is he ever wondering if what he's doing is right or wrong, or is he just super set in his ways?
No, he is extremely dedicated to what he's doing, and I think Keenan, back me up here. He believed since he's the one that got the notebook, he's the one that's destined to kind of be the great one that saves everyone.
Yeah, he like I said, he acts the Shinigami. What was his name again?
Ryuk.
He's like, Ryuk, why me? And Ryuk's like, oh, it's not you. I put it on the ground and you happen to find it. And his first thought is like, I'm special and I'm a god.
It's not you, it's me.
He does... He sometimes shows regret for some of his actions, though. Like, spoilers, there's a major character called L, who's the world's greatest detective.
I'm the world's greatest detective.
Who's charged with hunting down whoever is doing it. And he recruits Light to help him hunt down the murderer, not knowing that Light is the murderer.
Oh, shoot.
Light knows that he will have to kill L at some point. I mean, I can't really remember it so much because as I said before, I have such disdain for Death Note.
Of course, you seem to know a lot about it.
I know!
So then I would ask Matt Canavan.
Hello.
In the New 52, do any of the DC heroes kind of doubt themselves and change their perspectives and stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
You just asked Matt that.
Yeah, I know, because Keenan's repping Death Note.
Shut up!
Oh.
Okay. I hate you so much.
I don't know if that was a jab at me or
no,
Keenan.
No, but I did want to ask Keenan. So on that, along those same lines, do we see any of that kind of behavior in the New 52 comics? Any of the heroes kind of doubting themselves and their actions or changing their perspective on things because of events that take place?
Yes.
Batman knows he's Batman.
A is for Alfred. B is for Bat.
Batman knows he's Batman, but sometimes people don't like the way Batman does things. It needs to change. But I'm going to focus on Wonder Woman because that was probably one of my favorite New 52 titles. Wonder Woman eventually becomes deeply plagued by doubt and regrets.
Sounds a lot like Ted Mosby.
Ted Mosby is basically Wonder Woman.
He's got the boots for it.
also in Wonder Woman.
I was waiting all day. Oh my god, I wanted to make a boots reference. Thank you so much.
All these things happen, and Ted makes all these mistakes and all these choices, but it all leads to him meeting the mother. Right, Pat?
Yep.
So I wanted to pass it over to Pat to talk a little bit about, you know, in How I Met Your Mother, how, like, the place that we end up, we wouldn't have gotten there without all this stuff happening along the way.
Well, yeah. So, like, the very first decision that he really makes in the show is noticing Robin across the bar and saying, I want to meet that girl. And then...
Have you met Ted? Colin probably edited that in, so I shouldn't say it.
I suggest we play a little game I like to call, Have You Met Ted?
No. We're not playing Have You Met Ted.
Hi, have you met Ted?
Hi. I'm Ted.
Yeah. They play Have You Met Ted? That's how they meet Robin, who becomes this major character across all the seasons from then on and becomes a recurring love interest for Ted. Mm-hmm. But if he had never met Robin, who knows if he would have ever met the mother, because the way that he meets the mother, spoiler alert, is he was at Barney and Robin's wedding.
What?
Yeah, for real, man.
She played bass in the band that played there. Even in... the most recent episode that I just rewatched for, like, the fifth time. Yeah, I don't have a problem. Shut up.
No, dude, same.
No, I thought when you said most recent episode, I thought, like, you meant, like, the most recent to be...
the finale?
No, just, like, they were releasing new episodes. I was like, what? I Met Your Mother 2, Stepmom?
How I Met Your Stepmother.
Electric Boogaloo? Oh, that's bad. So, in that most recent episode, he's talking about... there's... so, in Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
At the end, where they're finding the Holy Grail, and they have to choose the cup to drink out of, and if you choose wrong, you get blown up.
You chose poorly.
But you get blown up.
No, like you die. No, you age.
While exploding.
No, you age. You're thinking of...
you totally blow up.
You are thinking of Raiders of the Lost Ark, my friend.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Hey, so you die, so go on, Pat.
So, whatever, nerds.
They use that trope throughout the entire episode. Where Ted makes a decision, and then the guy in chainmail comes up and says, you chose, and then either says wisely or poorly. But most of the time, it's poorly because it's Ted. And he chooses to sleep with this chick who just got broken up with, fired, car was stolen, all this stuff, and it ends up being a very bad night for him when he could have chosen this other girl who made sex noises like she was a car alarm. Either way, that's kind of a bad decision, one is very clearly better than the other.
Wait, what do you mean by like? What do you mean by like a car alarm?
Imagine the sound of a car alarm, Keenan. Like,
Oh, I thought maybe like you would bump into her and then she would start making sex noises. Like, just excuse me. Oh!
No way! Somebody just touched my butt.
No.
Ah, well, that sounds fun. I don't see. Why did he?
You don't see the problem with that?
Yeah.
It for Ted, it would have taken him out of it a little.
You could just pretend it's like a cyborg and you're in the future.
Whatever. So, while he's consoling this woman who has, in the background, he can hear car alarm sex noise chick getting banged. That's pretty much like the gist of how decisions impact Ted. He makes a bad one, and then it ends up leading him to his wife.
No, so I wanted to, when you guys were, you know, reading Marvels, you know, picking out your domains, what were some things that stood out to you guys in Marvels?
That it was long as fuck.
Oh, yeah. I was unexpectedly long.
Get your pretty little portfolio off my desk before I go into a diabetic coma.
Well, sorry.
I was like, all right.
That's what she said.
No. It was not as long as Austin's reading. Oh, that's for sure.
Oh, I didn't read all of that.
But anyway, I just, one of the things that really stood out to me was he was a very human character. He was very dynamic and changed. And at first I was like, am I going to like him? Because he was being straight up a racist for a while. Like, he was like, oh, we can't trust mutants.
Yeah.
Muties. I don't like them. And like, even when he was like Cyclops said, they're not worth it. He was like, what do you mean we're not worth it? And like, got all defensive about it. And then he started being slightly more racist and not less racist like I was going to hope he was going to be.
Well, no. The entire walk home, he was thinking about, like, was that the right decision? Should I have, like, gone along with the mob mentality?
He had that
instant realization that it was possibly wrong.
Nah, yeah,
and
he
and
was
the other
also...
thing, the we're not worth it is important to him because, You know, that's what makes him realize, like, I didn't know why I felt this way about the mutants, but now I do. It's because to them, we're not worth it. We're lesser than they are. They're the next evolutionary step. Because he's like, those jerks, they think I'm not worth it. But then you're right. When he sees the kid, he's like, you know what? They're still people. Matt, you want to chime in with what stood out to you in Marvels? I just feel like we haven't been giving you a lot of...
Nah.
Nah.
I agree with what everyone said. I'm sorry. I'm just quiet.
It's mad.
I know.
So is there something that you liked or disliked about it, or something that you found interesting?
I really did like how what the fuck was his name?
Phil Sheldon.
Sheldon. Hey, how he really was just kind of like down to earth. Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Cool. I also super enjoyed the characterization of J. Jonah Jameson.
Thanks for the good news.
As did I.
Because he was in the first panel saying, I'm going to be the Daily Bugle. But I also super enjoyed him going, also feeling that insecurity of I'm not good enough when there's men who can fly. And that's very similar to like stuff from DC. Because in some incarnations of Lex Luthor, the reason why Lex Luthor hates Superman is because Lex Luthor is one of the smartest, strongest people on Earth. Peak physical condition, smart, business savvy, handsome, everything, right?
And what part of that to you says Jesse Eisenberg should play this character?
All right, that's not what we're talking about today, okay?
I know, right. But I'm still pissed
and
about
then, and
that.
Then, no, Keenan, I totally agree, because then he's got all of this, and then there's nothing he could do if Superman wanted to kill him.
Yeah, because Superman comes in, and Superman was born with all this, and Lex Luthor had to work. Now, that isn't necessarily the New 52 interpretation, but I thought that was a very interesting parallel that I ended up finding. And I think that's also similar to, like, How I Met Your Mother, because Ted, a lot of the times, I find, tries to measure up to other things.
Yeah, no, a lot of times he'll measure, like, his relationships against Lillian Marshall, and sometimes he'll measure his sex life against Barney.
Yeah, that's the huge dynamic, is Ted is constantly stuck between wanting to be a family man like Marshall and wanting to go out and have fun like Barney.
Mm-hmm.
And it always ends up driving him crazy. And throughout the entire show, he just goes back and forth with, like, I just want to settle down. Like, nah, I just want to have fun. I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. It's time to, like, live my life. And I'm just like, dude, you're just lost.
Which is in contrast to, I found, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, Light's whole thing. Because Light, once he gets his power, he's kind of one-track mind. Although he does have that girlfriend at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he wouldn't even call her... his girlfriend.
So, Light, are you serious about her?
No way. Like I told you earlier, it's completely one-sided.
Does he end up killing her?
Yes.
Oh my god. I don't like this kid.
No, but guys, no, it's even worse. Doesn't she use that ideal twice? He's so dreamy, and I'd do anything for him.
Does she ever use the Death Note?
She does,
yeah,
yes.
She used the eye power to use the Death Note as a distraction twice.
She's in love with Light because the killer had killed the person who had killed her parents. Oh. And she was eternally grateful and would do anything.
Originally, Pat, I wanted to, I was going to ask you about how, like, you know, How I Met Your Mother can kind of relate to this whole, you know, superhero universe thing. But I think you've kind of done a good job explaining that throughout the podcast. So I guess instead of asking you to do that thing you've already done, could you maybe just talk a little bit more about that and give us some examples of, like, when Ted looks at other people the way that Phil looks at the Marvels.
Yeah, so Ted has lived with Lillian Marshall for like 17 years by the end of the show.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
God, good job.
For the longest time, he had held Lillian Marshall in the highest regard of their relationship as, like, perfect, and he does several things during the show that, like, leads the viewer to believe that he cares more about maintaining that relationship with those two people than, like, anybody else. What?
Nothing! Ignore me! Continue about Lillian
Check the
Marshall.
Facebook message. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
What the fuck is this?
Meme that shit, son.
I was getting really close to the mic to whisper something at you, but nobody gave me an opportunity.
Okay, so, Pat, So that's another thing, is Ted...
Ted is a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, he is.
Big time. Barney constantly pushes Ted out of his comfort zone so that he has to do stupid things. For instance, after Barney becomes engaged to Robin and he has his playbook still, he is losing his mind at not being able to go out and pick up other girls. So he enlists Ted to help him by trying these different plays out. So what he does is he has Ted run random things from the playbook. Like, he puts on a toga and he has to make weird Greek-themed puns. And he puts on a gown from, like, a hospital and he's using the line, yeah, I'm giving my friend an organ, but maybe later I can give you another organ, my penis.
So they don't work is what you're saying?
No.
No, no, none of the plays work.
Well, I'll get rid of my toga then.
Yeah, don't use togas to pick up chicks. Unless you're at, like, a Greek-themed party, in which case, Common Greeking program that shit up.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 5.
1 of 5 pictures of Spider-Man.
All right, that's perfect.
I want 5.
I want Spider-Man!
On a scale of 1 to 5 pictures of Spider-Man, can you let me know what you thought of the topic this week and explain a little bit as well? So let's start with Pat.
Okay, so I really enjoyed Marvel's as a whole in the story department, but I really hate Spider-Man, so I can only give you 4 out of 5 pictures of Spider-Man and 1 very compromising picture of Spider-Man, so it's like 4 and a half.
Well, I only want that picture.
It's about 4 and a half pictures of Spider-Man.
Okay, Matt, what did you think, and how many pictures of Spider-Man?
I really enjoyed reading it. I really kind of liked the artistry.
It won an award.
Yeah, I think it was Alex Ross. And it's all done in, like, painting style. I don't know if it was painted.
It certainly looks like it. I would probably give it, 5 out of 5 Spider-Man
pictures.
You can't
just say fuck it and be like, yeah, everything.
Pat, I think he can. All right, and Keaton, what about your rating and why?
I haven't really extensively read Marvel because I'm a DC Vertigo Dark Horse kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed this. I usually don't enjoy Marvel, but this I actually really liked. I thought it was a very human story, very cool characters. I liked the perspective of an everyman. The art style was really cool. I also liked the little introduction by the original Human Torch for issue 0. So I would have to give this about 4 and a half pictures of Spider-Man because the last one, like, got ripped. It did its job of, I'm more interested in reading Marvel now.
All right, so now it's my turn, and I've got to make one of you the Gold Star student and award you the Golden Daily Bugle.
Jesus.
So it's kind of, it's a little tough. I think you all did a great job at relating Marvels to your topic and, you know, helping me discuss it and learn a little bit more about it myself. But I think I'm going to have to give the Golden Daily Bugle to Keenan this week.
Cool.
Keenan, you maybe talked a little bit too much, but
shut up!
I feel like he helped move discussion, yes, with not only his topic, but also other people's.
I hate Death Note. That's my second speech. That's the whole speech. I hate Death Note.
Done. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You don't get an acceptance speech. I'm Kanye-ing you. Let's go.
I'm going to let you finish. But Rooster Teeth had the best podcast of this year.
So Keenan, I'm gonna let you finish. But right now I want to thank everyone for listening again. I'm Edward Ryan, and this week's topic was the comic series Marvels. You can check it out somewhere.
You can check it out somewhere.
You can check that out on Marvel's app, Marvel Unlimited. Our next episode will be hosted by Matt Canavan, and we'll be talking about the Potter Puppet Pals and the ideas of parody worlds. So make sure to watch that before it airs on February 10th. If any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program, or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review and let us know what you think. And if you want to know more, visit commongeekingprogram.com.
Rate, comment, subscribe.
And if you want to send those pictures of Spider-Man to us, mail them.
Send us those pictures of Spider-Man.
Mail it to the Daily Bugle, J. Jonah Jameson.
This episode of Common Geeking Program was hosted by Eddie, two first names Ryan. He was joined by Have You Met Pat, Matt Not Along Canavan, and Suspifically Keenan. This episode is brought to you by Narcissism, causing the editor to leave his voice in places in the podcast where it doesn't belong. Now the podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music by me. If you want to know what everybody was laughing about at the 44-minute mark, check out our Facebook, at Geeking Program, and we're on Twitter, on iTunes. Like us or leave us a review if you like the show. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about Potter Puppet Pals. Tune in, and thank you for listening to this.
Everyone should start recording, and then we'll sync up later. I sent a link to time.gov, so we don't have the same fucking mess that happened last time. All right.
20 seconds.
That's my favorite part of the post-credits, is just key to...
13 seconds!
10 seconds!
All right, it's coming up, boys. Right,
here we go. I don't have time.gov open out there.
Nope, I need time.gov. I need time.gov.
Okay, okay, right, we're gonna sync 20. At 25. We're gonna sync it at 25 seconds.
5 seconds. Right, cool.
No, fuck. One. Okay.
2 seconds.
That was fucking perfect.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was
so
good.
It only took us
the one try. Time.gov. Time.gov is the real MVP of this podcast.
This episode of the podcast brought to you by time.gov, where you can check the time.
Because the government knows what's up.
All right. Fantastic.